1927 acquisition was a land which was acquired for as an extension of the Achimota School. In 1930, the colonial government designated the 1927 acquisition as a forest reserve for purposes of plantation for fuel for the Achimota School, and which is what has become the Achimota Forest, the 1927 acquisition, which was converted in 1930 as a forest reserve. The 1921 acquisition compensation was paid. The 1927 acquisition, there's no evidence of payment of compensation. In addition to that, not all of the land was used as Achimota Forest. As we know, a lot of it has been encroached upon. For instance, Gimpa, as we know it today, is within the 1927 acquisition. The Forestry Commission headquarters is within the 1927 acquisition. The earthquake monitoring center is within the 1927 acquisition. So is the Forestry Commission accommodation facilities in the 1927 acquisition. And private individuals have also been engaged in developments within the 1927 acquisition. So sometime in 2007, the Wu family petitioned the president of the time, President Kofo, on two grounds. The first ground being that compensation had not been paid for the 1927 acquisition. And the second ground is also that the land is being used, part of the land is being used for purposes which is at variance with the original purpose for which it was acquired. And as you know, the constitutional provision, specifically Article 20 of the Constitution, makes a pronouncement on that, and therefore some of the land, the unused part of the land, be returned to them. The matter is traveled to President Mills, President Mahama, where even in President Mahama's time, three leases were executed in favor of the Owu family, and all the way through. And this government is giving effect to the arrangements which were made by amending the CAP 157, which is the Forest Act of 1927. To de-gazette the peripheral portions of the Achimota Forest, the part which is not being used as a forest reserve, for the Owu family.
So, for clarity, are you giving the entire forest back to them?
We're not giving the entire forest back to them. We're giving the peripheral portions of the Achimota Forest to them. Mm. Achimota Forest will remain intact. As a matter of fact, we are in the process of reforesting the Achimota Forest. We've been planting trees in the Achimota Forest. Money has been voted for the reforestation of the Achimota Forest. And we intend to even do more in, hopefully, in the not too distant future, turn the Achimota Forest into a forest enclave in the likes of Hyde Park in London, Central Park in New York. So on the contrary, we are seeking to preserve the Achimota Forest. And both instruments, the EI 144 and EI 155, were all promulgated solely and specifically with provisions to protect the Achimota Forest. Mm. So on the contrary, the Achimota Forest is not being sold. It cannot be sold. And President Akufo-Addo will never sell the Achimota Forest.
Forestry Commission's own implementation of what the law is, who there ought to have been the custodian of the process and ensure that the right thing is done. So depending on what comes up, it will then determine that, okay, it's at the institutional level. Maybe it's Forestry Commission that has failed. Other institutions are doing much better on issues such as this. But if it's bigger than that and it's national level, then you're probably looking at Parliament or maybe the Auditor General, depending on what aspect of it comes up. So there may be a different set of issues, and we just need to identify the specific duty bearers, so to speak, who ought to act to make the changes that will ensure that going forward we have a stronger system in order to prevent these kinds of lapses and fraudulent actions.
We need transparency, we need accountability. It may come up that nothing bad happened, and that's good, that is welcome. But we may also find out that people were culpable in this kind of, in this thing that happened. And if it happens so, then those people must be prosecuted if they are alive. We need reforms around this issue, and especially in relation to asset declaration. We don't know the full facts yet, so we wait for the special prosecutor to do the investigations and come up clear with their findings. But if we find some lacunes in how we are implementing some of these reforms or some of these laws, then definitely there must be a chance for us to go back to the drawing table and then see how we can best implement these reforms to ensure that the law bites.
It would be a very good case for us to document that it happened practically, not just speaking in the theoretical sense, that a public officer during his lifetime tried to engineer some of this process to circumvent the processes that have been put in place to ensure that he didn't do what he was supposed to be doing. So for us, it is a good case going forward that the special prosecutor looks into it. The investigation goes beyond just Sir John because there are other interests involved. There is one who is mentioned, a certain Mr. Charles Owusu, and the various companies which have been mentioned, which you alluded to in your introductory remarks. So it's a good case going forward, and we hope and pray that this would go as quickly as possible so that as civil society actors, as the media and as a people, we would begin to then trust that the systems we have put in place to check some of these wrongdoings are beginning to take shape and are beginning to work in our interest.
Mr. Speaker, I believe we have to look at the Constitution again insofar as it relates to access to information. And, Mr. Speaker, come to think of it, Article 2865 lists the public officers who must submit to the access declaration. Mr. Speaker, curiously, some notable officers are left out. For instance, the Council of State, they are not there. Serious Fraud Office, they are watchmen in the system. The special prosecutor. former Serious Fraud Office. Yoko. Now, Speaker, they are watchmen in the system. We should have a system to watch the watchmen. And yet the Constitution does not require them to submit themselves to this. Even now, the MMDCs, they are not there. We all know what is happening. So, Mr. Speaker, we need to have a second look at the Constitution.
Zoom in. Don't forget, the higher the number, then the less chances that somebody can just say, you know, don't forget, as the investigations go on, people will call people in the deep of the night. Hey, this one is our son. We're this year. If you reveal this guy, you're going to embarrass our society, our community, and all that. So the higher the number of institutions, the better. That in itself serves as a bulwark against some of the influences that the investigators will come across, okay? So it's all good. Evans, remember the American one, as I stated at the beginning, seven institutions investigated Donald Trump's elections as to whether there was foreign influence. And they all came out with their findings. So let's go for it, okay? Maybe at the end of this, we'll see that even before the institutions get started, you see that there's a new sense of excitement, and like the word you use, the right word, the energy the minister is brought into it. Yes, let's ride on it, okay? There's no turning back.
In the course of the week, many people have been speaking about this issue. There's been such huge public outcry, and that has compelled the minister to issue many statements. Those statements have been applauded, but is that where it ought to end? So you heard first the minister, Abu Jinapor Samuel. You heard Edem Senanu, anti-corruption campaigner. You heard Guilfred Esiama of the Corruption Watch. You heard also Mariada of the Ghana Integrity Initiative. You heard Che Mensa Bonsu. Just pretending in that House of Parliament that something needs to be done that has not been done. Truth is, what we have now, you are not even complying. So what are you doing? And you got a new act brought before you 2015. You were in that parliament. Then the life of that parliament expired. You got it 2018. The life of that parliament expired. Who are you deceiving, really? So he also spoke, saying we need to do some asset declaration. Let's first check if he has declared himself. Then you had Martin Pebu, who, like me, were very angry about what was going on. So Accra is supposed to be home to some 4 million, you know, Ghanaians or people. And we're told that ecological integrity of Accra, the ecological integrity of Accra depends on the only one forest, Achimota. So why are we now doing what we're doing to it when as far back as 1927, this was preserved with foresight for posterity? My guest joining us to do this discussion and hoping that we can expand it beyond Achimota, because there are reports of various endangered reserves across the country and even in Accra. Because as you saw in the Forestry Commission, former Forestry Commission boss's will, even a Ramsar site is in the will. And as we understand, there's a lot of development activity going on there. Who is checking it? The minister makes a promise that they will check all of these. My guest in the studio, Innocent Afosani, former minister, lands and natural resources. He's a lawyer. Back to his private business. Also here is Martin Pebu. He's a rights activist and a lawyer. Gentlemen, good morning and welcome to Newsfile.
Thank you. Good morning.
Great. And the minister, Samuel Abu-Jinapo, MP Damongo, and Minister Lands and Natural Resources, joins us via Zoom as Bright Simmons, Honorary Vice President, Imani Africa, also joins us via Zoom. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us via Zoom.
Thank you.
Great. So maybe I should begin with Bright. And okay, so let me do this. Let me begin to hear from the desk here in the studio before I go to Bright. So you have had cause to actually issue a statement to respond to certain portions of what we have been told. First of all, explain to Ghanaians how we have come to the point, at least up to when you were in office, to releasing a portion of the forest to the Owus, and even attempting to turn the entire forest into an eco park. We know that before, the plan by the NPP administration was to turn a portion of it into a market. And you came and you decided that you would rather turn all of it into an eco park. How did we come to that?
So Samson, thank you so very much for this opportunity to be on your platform. It's a long time. And to extend my regards to my good friend and colleague, Martin. Now, the history of Achimota Forest, you all know, started somewhere in 1930. It was in 1930 that the Fuel Woodlot was gazetted as a forest. Initially, it was acquired for the purposes of providing a buffer between the Prince Wales College, which is now Achimota School, and Accra. Now, because Achimota School was established and students were there and the students were being fed, there was a need to provide for cheap fuel, and wood was what was used. So the purpose for acquiring the 1927 area was to provide wood and a buffer. But subsequently, by a proclamation, it was declared a forest. The initial size of the whole acquisition was about 495 hectares of land. Now, so that 495 hectares of land, by the time we assumed office in 2009, had been encroached on, or part of the forest had been developed, that it was left with about 365 hectares. Jimpa, which was Grey Hill College, is sitting in the forest. Now, all the area behind the forest, Jimpa, starting from Nogo Hill Hotel, you know that hotel?
Yeah.
Up to the that hotel, Fiesta Royal.
Fiesta Royal, rather.
It's part of Dutch Water Forest. Now, we also know that in 2008, land issue had become a national and political issue, very topical, just as it is today. Indeed, in 2006, when the decision was to convert part of the Achimota Forest into a second business district, second central business district of Accra, the whole family petitioned President Kufuor for a release of a portion of that land. A committee was established for that purpose. The committee recommended that they should declassify 193 acres of the Achimota Forest as a non-forest. Now, at this point, I would say that the Uwu family, when I issued my statement, did indicate that the number of acres to return to them, or the government, the number of acres that the government had decided to return to them, was 90 during Kufuor's time, and as captured in the memorandum of understanding signed between government and the Kufuor administration.
24th November 2008.
And so I concede that reading the whole agreement in the around paragraph 9 or so, you will find that not more than 90 acres was to return to the whole family. Now, so, but as a minister, when I went into office, I reviewed the memorandum of understanding. I saw the shuttle.
Mm.
The shuttle clearly indicated that 100.
So, because they lost power, they couldn't continue.
They couldn't continue.
You
they
came into continue. Office.
Yeah.
Right.
I reviewed the shuttle. The shuttle clearly indicated that 193 acres was to be taken from that water forest. Probably that was what made me think that the whole of 193 was to go to the whole family. Now, when we came into office, and before we came into office, the government had decided, and the government of John Evans Atta Mills had decided, that if we came into office, we would stop the alienation of land, the alienation or sale of land. And so you realize.
Because it became a heated debate.
Bits.
And it was discovered that politicians and the elites rich in our society, influential, were the ones buying the state lands.
So there was a total freeze, a total ban under John Evans Atta Mills. And a reversal of some of the earlier decisions of government. A mention can be made of the international student hostel.
That's right.
You are grown enough to know that we had an international student hostel which was demolished and land petitioned and given to public officers. Now, that area where the International Student Hostel was sited is now the Minister of Foreign Affairs. Okay? You remember the La Wallens issue,
right?
And the constitution and building of that place as an AU village. Who owns those buildings now? We don't know. Okay? You remember the Cantumas lands, some members of the party to send Jake Obi-Chibilante to court. So Atamis placed a ban.
Okujetua Black and Omane
Buama. Good. So in 2011, discussions, when NDC was preparing for the 2012 elections, discussions were afoot on how to deal with public lands, and particularly the Achimota Forest. Now NDC took the view that the way to protect the forest was to change it or convert it into an ecotourism facility to be known as the Achimota Eco Park. Simply put, NDC's conception of the protection of the forest was to reduce the whole place into possession, such that You could have ecologists, you have a theme park, and you have a convention center. Because presently, as we speak, the forest is used by religious groups for prayers, communicating with their God. And so we thought that we should maintain that practice, but make it in an organized, sane way. So in 2012, the 2012 manifesto of the NDC captured that intention to convert the Achimota Forest into an ecotourism facility. NDC won the 2012 elections, and John Dramani Mahama became leader of government, that's president of the country. Now, I was appointed to the ministry in 2013. So, in 2009, the Uwu family also petitioned John Evansita Mills. The committee was set up. The committee concluded its work before Innocent Ofisene was appointed minister.
They made their petition to John Mills on the 5th of June 2009.
So a committee was set up, headed by Afare Date, the CEO of the Forestry Commission. They presented their report to the government before I assumed office, even before the 2012 elections. Now, I was appointed January 2013. My stay in the ministry was between January 2013 to June 2014. My sole mission and purpose in the ministry as regards Achimota Forest was to give effect to the declared intention of the NDC to convert the Achimota Forest into an ecotourism facility. To be able to do that, we took the Afare Date report, read the report and the recommendations. The report recommended that 1/18 of the Achimota Forest be returned to the Owu family to enable the smooth takeoff of the implementation of the Accra Achimota ecotourism project. So I did a camera memo to the president requesting for permission to implement the recommendations of the Afare Date committee.
And the president had been petitioned by the Owu family again on the 30th of March 2013. Okay.
So the president granted me executive approval to implement the recommendations of the Owu, the Afare Date committee. So I wrote to the Forestry Commission to implement the report, the recommendations of the Afare Date committee as approved by cabinet, by the president, by an executive improvement, and give them 118 acres of land. So the only reason why, and on 24th, I was on my farm doing land preparation, I didn't see the release. Your network, when the release came up, sent me a copy. My communication director, Sami Jaffe, sent me a copy. Many other stations. I didn't see anything. I was on my farm, busy working. I came home in the night, tired, I slept. The next day in the morning, I put my phone on. The thing just felt like rotten plantain in a sack. So when I saw Sami Jaffe, I opened it. I said, can you respond to this? Evans, can you engage us in discussion? Another radio, TV station, can you respond to these matters? So I then took my time. I knew that these matters were quite hefty. So I then took my time to read the whole press release. And my shock was that the ministry of Lands and Natural Resources, by the statement signed by my brother Abu Jinapo, contained serious innuendos and imputations of criminality. Serious.
But it was factual.
It was so factual. There were some incorrect assertions and misrepresentation of facts. And the criminal imputation of criminal intent was contained clearly in paragraph 26. And you will even read the paragraph 26 of the release.
be left in no doubt.
By a letter dated 4th April 2014, the then Minister for Lands and Natural Resources, Honorable Alhaji Yunus Afuseni MP, wrote to the Lands Commission to amend its records to reflect the grants made to the old family. What's criminal here?
First of all, there is no such thing in my letter of 4th April 2014. The letter of 4th April 2014, that's the last paragraph.
Mm.
Was that kindly take note and amend your records accordingly to reflect the said transaction. The said transaction. Not even transactions. The said transaction. And it precedes a paragraph which says that in view of the above, and I had recited the historical records available to us at the ministry of how government acquired the land, the determination of government to use the land as an ecotourism facility, the fact that the government had approved that the part of the land be returned to the old family. And I said, in view of the above and on compassionate grounds, and also in furtherance of the Achimota Eco Park project, the government represented by the Forestry Commission has decided to grant a leasehold interest to the old family, the pre-acquisition owners, for a term of 99 years certain over a piece or parcel of land described in the attached plans and schedules being peripheral portions of the Achimota Forest. Please take note and amend your records accordingly to reflect the said transaction. That said transaction is a transaction of the leasehold that was to be given to the old family representing the 118 acres of land. And there is no way in my letter that I use grants. The use of grants in the paragraph 26 was done deliberately because they had said that there was a deed of variation. There was a deed of variation.
In paragraph 25.
Okay, that was signed between the Forestry Commission and the Owu family to grant them a further portion of the land.
50.09 acres.
And that subsequently there was another issue about the root of title and the exact size of the forest. And then Forestry Commission had again given them part of the land.
Mm.
And that in total, the land granted the Forestry Commission came to 198 point something, something, I don't know. Mm. 198 acres.
Mm-hmm.
That is the reason why the word grants is used in paragraph 26. That's the reason. To rectify.
So those of you who have the benefit of the television, on your screens, we are showing the various presidents under whom the old family made a petition and the corresponding increase of the acreage that was given. So from Kufuor in 2007 to Akufo-Addo in 2022, you will see it beginning with 90 and ending with 361.3 acres.
Yes.
Let's go ahead.
Yes. So, during the time that I was at the Ministry of Lands and Natural Resources, and at the time that I left there in June, the only committee that I set up at the ministry was the Strategic Development Committee to implement the Achimota Eco Park project, headed by my able deputy, Barbara Sewa. That was the only committee. All others were committees set up which predated me. And
And you know only about 118.
118. Okay. And I mean, it will even be a matter of extreme betrayal of trust and confidence. If a public officer, you go to the president, appointee of the president, you go to the president for approval to implement a recommendation of a committee, and the president gives you approval for the implementation of a certain number or portion, determined portion, then you, as a minister, you increase that number. I mean, if you want to increase that number, you have to go back. Because we all know the remit of Article 58 of the Constitution. We all know. You don't have, a minister doesn't have executive authority. You can't do that. Executive authority is vested in the president. And so, when I heard that, I thought that no. It was important for me to clear the air and to state categorically that to all intents and purposes, my letter of 4th April dealt with 118. That at all material times that I was dealing with the Achimota Forest as regards the conversion of the forest into an ecotourism facility, the number of acres to be returned to the Owo family was 118. And I know as a matter of fact that 118 acres of land was returned to the Owo family. And that 118 acres of land was registered in the name of the Owo's family and the lands commission. And that there is a land title certificate to that. 118 acres of land, as a matter of fact. And so, for the ministers to have said that all this time...
The public want to go through the history and then come to the propriety.
Okay.
The public has been asking for explanations as to the increasing acreage from one government to the next. After each petition is made, the minister appears to give very useful disclosure on how the increases occurred. What will you say? Because I mentioned to you his statements contain facts, and he says some of the facts were misconstrued and so on and so forth. Some of them were inaccurate, and you point to paragraph 24. Now,
26.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, what did you know led to the original 90 acres as agreed by the Kufuor regime to be granted to the Owo family?
Well,
what led to the increase from that?
From 90 to what?
From 90 to the 118.
No, so let's come back. The Kufuor administration actually wanted to declassify 193 acres of the Achimota Forest.
193
acres of the Achimota Forest.
But gave 90.
90 out of the 193 acres to return 90 to the Owo family. What they were going to do with the 103 acres of land, I have no idea.
In the letter, it stated that they will do highway, central business district, and the agreement.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I am speaking specifically.
So let me come. I'm sorry, I'm coming. So NDC was not going to do a central business district. Okay. So NDC assessed the impact on the forest under Kufuor's regime to be 193. Acres of land. That was the impact on the forest. So NDC's view was that we should reduce the impact on the forest. And the impact of the forest was reduced by returning only 118 acres of land. Okay?
Mm.
I understand that the Afaradati committee also said they were compensating for loss of prime land. I did not share that view with them.
But you were a minister.
I was minister. I did not
you didn't see.
No. Which one?
I thought you were a minister. Forestry is under your.
And I didn't see what?
That Afaridate agreed to give more.
I'm explaining the more. I'm explaining that 193 was to impact the forest. Okay? 118 was Afaridate's report.
Mm-hmm.
Our assessment of the 118 as against 193 was that it was going to have a lesser impact on the forest. Now, from the escalation from 90 to 118 was that they were compensating for loss of prime area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But that I didn't agree with them on that.
There's something I didn't want to do, but I think I should do it.
Okay.
Now, let's do this. Mm-hmm. Let me read a bit of what the minister released and spoke about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the minister starts by giving us the history about the fact that in 1921, the government then of the Gold Coast acquired, you know, the portion of land from the Owu family for the Achimota School. Then later, in 1927, check, 1921, then 1927, it acquired another parcel, approximately 1,185 acres as an extension to the Achimota School. And this is what later you found, you know, in 1930, a process making it to become the fuel wood plantation, as in the reserve. Then he refers us to the fact that August 14, 2006, the Owu family made a petition to President Kufuor. Now, he says, whilst that petition was pending, in September 2007, that's a year later, they came requesting release of portion of the Achimota Forest adjoining the Tetekwashi Malam Motorway. Now, he says, following the second petition, the Office of the President held consultations with the family and other relevant state agencies, including the Forestry Commission and the Lands Commission. It was recommended, following these consultations, that due to, quote, the choked nature of the current Accra Central Business District and the reconstruction of the Tetekwashi Malam Motorway, a portion of the land forming part of the 1972-27 acquisition. Remember, there was a 21 acquisition for the school solely. So the 1927 acquisition, the Achimota Forest, should be redeveloped as a complementary business district to facilitate the decongestion of the Accra Central business and appropriate benefit determined and accordingly extended to the Owu family, while at the same time preserving the Achimota Forest, end quotes. Then he says that on this recommendation, the government, acting by then Minister for Lands and Forestry, Lands, Forestry and Mines, Esther Obeng Dapah, and the Owu family entered into an agreement on the 24th of November 2008, where government agreed to grant to the Owu family a lease over a portion of the forest reserve. That's 90 acres. This was on the 24th of November 2008. Then, on the 27th of November, the minister wrote to the Lands Commission, directing the commission to take the necessary steps to implement the agreement reached with the Owu family. However, the lease could not be executed due to change of government. He says, following government's failure to execute the lease in favor of the family, as agreed, the family on the 5th of June 2009 submitted another petition to then President of the Republic, John Mills. Then in May 2011, the Minister for Lands and Natural Resources, Mike Hammer, constituted a special committee chaired by then Chief Executive Officer of the Forestry Commission, Samuel Afaridate, to consider the petition submitted by the family and to determine whether the petition was legitimate and the area to be granted to the family. The committee, after deliberation, concluded that, quote, the request for the release of a portion of the land of Achimota Forest is legitimate and reasonable for consideration, end quote. The committee, however, found that the area the family was requesting, that is the portion of the land adjoining the Noga Hill Hotel area along the Tetekwashi Malam motorway, is, quote, a prime section of the forest of the reserve where the forest is richest, end quote. So now see what is leading to the change to increase the acreage from 90. The committee therefore recommended that the area opposite Gimpa, up the University of Ghana boundary, and the area bordering the Abofu community adjoining the Forestry Commission Regional Office and behind the staff bungalows, measuring 118.023 acres, which the committee described as, quote, the peripheral sections, end quote, be granted to the family. So remember, it was 90, but because of some reasons and the original grant of 90 being the richest portions of the forest, a decision was now later taken to change that place and give them another place. Giving them the new place led to giving them 118 instead of the 90. Says the committee described this 118 place as the peripheral sections, and that was what to be granted to the family, and that steps should be taken to de-reserve the granted portion after the grant. The commission noted that although the land being granted to the family exceeded the original 90 acres agreed in 2008, it was, quote, a fair compromise to make up for the loss of the prime areas of the Echo Park project. So this is an explanation, a fair compromise. Then let's come to a further increase, how we got to a further increase from the 118. It says on the 20th of March 2013, the family again petitioned then President John Dramani Mahama for the release of portions of the land. Desirous of converting the forest reserve into an eco park, a concept which was conceived sometime in 2011, the then Minister for Lands and Natural Resources, Alhaji Yunus Afuseni, constituted a strategic development committee chaired by the then Deputy Minister for Lands and Natural Resources, Barbara Sewa Samoa, to develop a strategy and roadmap for executing the Echo Park project. The committee, as part of its work, considered the report of the 2011 Special Committee and agreed with all the recommendations of the committee. The committee, so this committee literally did nothing, if you want to say, and agreed with all the recommendations of the committee. The committee also recommended that the request of the family, quote, should be expedited for the smooth takeoff of the Echo Park project, end quote. Then the minister went for approval from the president. He's speaking about it here. Then he comes to give us another narration that on 12 September 2013, Yunus Afuseni granted approval to the Forestry Commission to implement the recommendations on the release of the peripheral portions of the land, which is 118 acres, to the family in accordance with the executive approval. Now, listen to this. Despite the fact that the said Afaridate committee recommended the release of an acreage of 118 on 30th September 2013, the Forestry Commission executed three leases in favor of the Owu family. And there's a question that has to be asked for answers at a point. Why is it the Forestry Commission that is granting these instead of the Lands Commission, which is the state entity responsible for state lands? So the Forestry Commission executed three leases in favor of the Owu family, totaling 148.4. Remember, it was 118. Now it is 148.411. From this time, the family, with the consent of the Forestry Commission as the head lessor, granted portions of the 148 for something acres to private developers. Then on the 20th of February 2014, the Forestry Commission said the Owu family executed a deed of variation to the leases as a result of what was described as, check this, it's also important, to the next variation, as a result of what he calls, quote, an omission of the root of title and the actual size of the demised land, end quote. So this third situation is going to lead to another increase. By the said 2014 deed of variation,
The Forestry Commission granted the Owu family another 50.09 acres, bringing the total acreage granted to the family to 198.501 acres. Remember that. So now it has gone up from 90 to 118, then from 118 to 148 or 9 Yes, 148, and now eventually it has come to 198 acres. Now, there is something that was said, that the degazetting process was begun 2018. Then it says that while the draft executive instrument was receiving attention, the Forestry Commission on 3rd May 2018 wrote to the Owu family indicating that portions of the land leased to them, particularly the nursery and the seismology station, were ecologically sensitive areas requiring critical protection by the commission, but were, quote, inadvertently allocated. So they are saying, we gave you something we shouldn't have given you. The commission therefore indicated to the family that it was withdrawing these portions from the lands covered by the lease. In place of these portions of the forest reserve, the commission offered to grant to the family portions of the forest behind the Gimpa wall around the railway station and another portion known as the, quote, island, end quote, located near the runabout on the George Bush Highway. I'm going to end on this one. It says, following this letter, the family entered into negotiations with the Forestry Commission. The family requested for more land on the grounds that, among others, they were being deprived of a more valuable land for a less valuable one. So these are people that we are told are being given land on compassionate grounds. Not that they deserved it, but on compassionate grounds. You are being, you know, as it were, Father Christmas. So
charitable.
Then they have been giving this portion, and they come to say, now that you are going to take that portion away again from us because you are saying that these are ecologically sensitive areas you have given to us that you shouldn't have given to us, and you gave it to us inadvertently, the replacement you are giving to us must be more valuable because what you are giving us is less valuable. If you are giving us a less valuable place, then increase the acreage. So it says that this stalled the process for degazetting of the land. The negotiations between the Forestry Commission and the Owu family culminated in another deed of variation. So the second time of a deed of variation executed in 2020, varying the schedule to the 2013 leases. By the deed of variation, the total area of land released to the Owu, to the family, released to the Owu family, that's my area of interest, not released for whatever purpose by the state, to the family, now became 329.012 acres. The Forestry Commission then, on the 14th of July 2020 and 3rd December 2020, wrote to the then Minister of Lands and Natural Resources, Kweku Asoma Chirme, recommending the degazetting of the lands granted to the Owu family. And then John Jinapo, Samuel Abu Jinapo came to inherit at this point. And it said that they received a recommendation from advice from the Forestry Commission, and the Forestry Commission recommendation on the 20th of April 2021, the commission recommended that since the lands had already been granted to the family, which had also granted subleases with the consent of the Forestry Commission, quote, to avoid public outcry. I'm mentioning that to know whether we have avoided a public outcry. To avoid public outcry, the portions of the Achimota forest granted to the Owu family should be degazetted by the ministry as soon as possible. And this is what Abu Jinapo, Samuel Abu Jinapo, has acted on. with what has led us to what we are discussing.
So let me understand something. Biographed, you said Asumwa Chame, the area to be degazetted, when he was applied, when he was requested to degazette the area that the Forest Commission had granted the Wu family up to the time that he was in office, stood at what, 355?
You are
Yeah,
right.
That's it.
Yes, 300. Was it 329?
Is it
329? Mm-hmm. 329 in 2018, 329.12.
And 2021?
Then in
2021,
Amewu, then under Amewu's leadership, it went to 355.4.
Then under
Abu, in 2022, it is 361.
So what accounted for the difference to movement between?
He has explanations. I want to avoid reading too much.
Okay, that's okay. Yeah. That's okay. I mean, so I'm asking these questions because when I heard my name mentioned more than four times in the in the press release, I asked myself, is it because when the matter was released and the EI came out, I spoke about it. I'm gonna say that I'm the first person who made the whole Ghana to understand that only 118 acres of land was involved. Nobody said it.
Okay, so it is important.
No. First, I'm not the Forest Commission.
Martin, I need
read the Constitution.
I need this last portion for a certain perspective because you brought in why, how did we jump again in Abu Jinapor's time? Paragraph 45. There were failed visits. Upon the approval for the degazetting, there were failed visits. And it says that after the failed visits and its validation, the Lands Commission, by a letter dated 28th March 2022, that's very recently, submitted a validated schedule and site plan, which showed a total area of 361.50 acres, or 146.30 hectares, delineated as site A to E on the plan number so-and-so. According to the commission, the difference between the sites submitted by the Forestry Commission and the final one by the Lands Commission. So they made
the
failed visits.
What? The difference was what?
So it was, as you saw earlier, it was three.
No. I know the difference in type of in terms of acreage.
Yes.
I'm saying that what accounted for the jump?
Jump from 355.4 to 361.5. Okay. So that's
because
what I'm saying. What accounted for that was that. They did
land field visits.
Field visits.
Yes.
And the field visits showed that there was another error. And now they did the actual thing to bring it to what.
So who were those who were always doing the site plans and the site plans for the lands and the shuttles?
Yes, it was the Forestry Commission.
So at any point in time, the Forestry Commission, when they did the site plan and the shuttle, they got it wrong. Is that what we are made to believe? Anyway, as for me, and my friend and colleague has always said, oh, the forestry was under you. No, wait. No, wait. It's about governance. It's not about perception. The Ministry of Lands is the supervising ministry of Lands Commission, Forestry Commission, the Minerals Commission.
Yeah.
The contradiction for the final increase was with the involvement of the Lands Commission to go and, you know, take the coordinates and validate the actual acres that had been submitted.
And the investigation is going to be carried out, we'll not talk much about it.
All right.
There are more questions. Look, so as constitutional bodies, they are constitutional bodies.
Yeah.
They're established by the Constitution.
Yes.
And they are independent constitutional bodies.
Yes.
The only role a minister has
with the Lands Commission, with the Forestry Commission, with the Minerals Commission, are on matters of policy.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot micromanage.
Mm-hmm. So 50 point something acres, the Forestry Commission is giving, there is no policy.
Look at it. No. Listen. What was the policy? The policy was to convert Achimota Forest into an ecotourism facility.
Yes.
The policy was not to give back land to
Achimota. We said that Forestry Commission was doing that under your watch.
Wait. You need to understand. The Forestry Commission, government, through the Ministry of Lands and Natural Resources, was to convert Achimota Forest into an ecotourism facility. That's a policy. In converting it, the government had decided to return 118 acres of land to the Owo family. That's a policy.
Mm-hmm.
So as minister, you write to them,
mm-hmm,
government policy is to convert the ecotourism facility, Achimota Forest, into an ecotourism facility.
Mm-hmm.
And government has decided, and that's another policy,
mm-hmm,
to return 118 acres of land,
mm-hmm,
to the...
Yes.
Honorable,
20th February 2014, the Forestry Commission gave extra
land. We have some extra land us now, so that we can
acres.
Take
that is not a government,
another perspective.
No, that's
from
not
him
a government policy.
Particularly on the happened increases
no,
of the
no, that's not
acres
a government policy. So that's how they have to come to explain
okay
how it happened.
But you were in charge at
but
the ministry.
I was in charge at the ministry, but I was not in charge at the Forestry Commission.
Oh, that one there. This one is hard. It's hard.
No, no,
okay,
it's not,
okay.
It's
so,
not,
so Martin,
it's,
Martin,
maybe, yeah,
Martin, let's hear you now. From all the releases from the ministry, disclosures that we have become aware of, what's your reading of all of this?
Yeah, so the first one is, it's good Honorable is here. Honorable is my good friend, good friend. But this one, let me start from the one I've been trying to get more clarifications from me. I'm not in the least impressed that Honorable sat in office under his watch on 20th of February 2014. The commission went ahead, Forestry Commission, then they gave more land. They say, by the said 2014 deed of variation, the Forestry Commission granted the old family another 50.09, so let's just say 50 acres.
I've read that.
Bringing the total acreage to 198. So, Honorable, at that time you were in office. 20th February 2014, you were in office. You said you left in June under your watch. That's what we want to hold you accountable for. It can't happen. Such a huge 50 acres. Honorable, it's not one plot.
You can't.
Okay. And this we have the national security.
Let me bring
Samuel Abujinapo
on now.
Saw this.
Let me bring Samuel Abujinapo on now. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. If you can help us first with what went into the eventual, you know, increase under your watch, what would you say?
So thank you very much, my good friend Samson. And let me say a very good morning to your panelists, my senior colleague, the Honorable Minister Fuseni, and the respected activist Mr. Martin Pebu and others, and also to say a good morning to your cherished listeners and viewers, and to plead with you that I've been a bit reluctant in contributing, and just to allow me to make a point or two, and if there are one or two more questions, I can wrap it there, because I think I've said enough on this matter. Now, I just want to plead by indicating, you know, because I've been listening to my senior colleague, the Honorable Minister Fuseni, on this matter. So what I put out are just the records. These are the records in the registry of the ministry, which I inherited. These are records. I mean, in governance, if you are made a minister, you rely on the records which have been filed. And I was very, very deliberate and diligent in making sure that I don't put any interpretation or inferences on the facts. So what I sought to do, or what I did, was just to put a bare fact, which is why you see dates, you see the ministers who were in charge at the time, I gave the narrative of what happened. If the records, and I have no reason to believe the records are not accurate, the records are not accurate, then that's another matter. But these are documentary records, these are files of correspondence in the ministry. So that's the first point I want to make. The second one is a straight answer, which is what accounted for the 6 acres increase of 5 or 6 acres from 355 to 361. So after the executive approval, as is the custom and as it should be, I wrote to the Attorney General, who is the lawyer of the government, to seek guidance as to how to proceed following the executive approval, which has been given by the President. The Attorney General requested for a schedule, in other words, the plan, which was supposed to be the basis for the executive instrument. The Forestry Commission presented a schedule. The Attorney General took the view that the Forestry Commission was not mandated by law to generate schedule, and that the government agency that is responsible for generating schedule was the Survey and Mapping Division of the Lands Commission. And therefore, I should cause the Survey and Mapping Division to generate a validated schedule or to validate the schedule of the Forestry Commission. So I commissioned the Executive Secretary of Lands Commission to get on with that. And that culminated in the Lands Commission stroke mapping, Survey and Mapping Division to go on the site with the coordinate of the Forestry Commission, what had been agreed to. And on the field visit, and when they picked the coordinate, it turned out that the actual acreage was 6 acres more, 5 acres more. So really, that's the explanation. And that's what is on record.
In your press releases, and I'm taking note of the fact that you have very limited time to share with us, as I have been made to understand. In your press releases, first you say, for example, that you call what you say is a peripheral, you know, areas that will cease to be a forest by the EI under your hand, so to speak. And you continue to say that yet the development of the release portion would be consistent with the forest reserve. There are those who have raised questions about that. It sounds like a contradiction. What do you say to that?
Well, first of all, the use of the word, the peripheral portion, really the...
Yeah, it didn't start with you.
Say again?
That didn't start with you. We acknowledge that.
At all. That is the commonly used language from 2008, peripheral portion. I mean, what is peripheral in itself is a bit subjective, you know. Mm. And these are the matters that we are...
Yeah, so the question is, how do you give out for development and say that
the development will
still be consistent with the forest reserve?
I absolutely appreciate your question. So what it is that a portion, what they call the peripheral portions, is what is being released. Okay, but these are matters we're looking into. Those are all matters we're looking into. However, as you will see, EI 154 designates the remaining part of the forest reserve as a forest reserve, EI 154. So paragraph 3 of EI 144 is actually intended to ensure that whatever development eventually which will take place in these within these released lands do not compromise the ecological integrity of the remaining or the existing forest reserve. I always give two examples. So if we give we release the lands out, and we didn't put any safeguard measures in place, and we woke up one day to find out that somebody has built a huge factory on that land, that obviously will impact negatively on the ecological integrity of a forest reserve, because birds and fauna and flora and the rest will get impacted. If somebody were to build a mercury processing or a mercury factory, a mercury producing factory, just adjacent or just close to the forest, the existing forest reserve, when it seeps through into the forest reserve, you can be rest assured that the trees will be compromised. So this is to ensure, and then on top of it, as the minister rightly pointed out, Minister Inisa Fuseni pointed out, the idea also is to improve this existing forest reserve and enhance it and redevelop it into a true ecological green belt or forest zone within the city of Accra, like Central Park of London or Central Park of New York or Hyde Park of London and so on and so forth. So you want to regulate the kind of development which will take place in a manner that will complement the future plans we have for the forest reserve. So that's the thinking, just to put the safeguard measure.
So still on that issue, you are trying to use EI 144
to introduce what in law is known as restrictive covenants.
You are right in saying so.
Right. So is it not really the case in law that to have that effective, the restrictions should rather be in the leases that have been given to the old family?
Well, that's a strong point. I don't know what the Attorney General's view would be on that, because as I say, all of these measures or steps I took were with the guidance of the Attorney General. It may be something that we can look at. Nothing stops us from introducing further covenants in the leases that have been given, and if there will be any further leases, that is something we should pay attention to. But I think it's early days yet. I think we should cross this hurdle of examining and interrogating the current issues. And if we are at a point where we are in a position to move forward, I believe your point is a strong one.
Right. And one of the things that leads me to ask that question is that you would discover that even in 2006, when they made the first petition to President Kufuor, they spoke about the land having been encroached by developers. Yet at that time, this was still a forest reserve. And we had a forestry commission that had a mandate to ensure that that place remained, you know, sacred, so to speak.
Yes, yes. I mean, I think that it brings up a bigger issue. And I'm particularly excited that this has generated this amount of public debate. Excuse me. It generated this amount of public debate and interest. Perhaps it gives us a golden opportunity to take a critical look at the bigger issue of public lands and how they've been managed over the years and how we should deal with them moving forward. Because a lot of these lands we are talking about, as you rightly pointed out, have actually been encroached upon already. And in many cases, what they always may get will be an atonement of tenure. There's also the other very big elephant in the room, which is the 1921 acquisition, which is the Achimota School itself, which is travel all the way to the Supreme Court. And those are matters that we're having to deal with. And something, if you permit me, one of the major issues I've had to deal with, and I believe that Minister Fuseni dealt with similar things when he was minister, is a question of public land tenure system, pre-acquisition owners, and how really to handle those matters. There's never been a single regional house of chiefs, and I've been to all the 16. There's not been a single regional house of chiefs I've visited where that has not been the biggest issue on the table, the most topical issue on the table, where the chiefs believe, rightly or wrongly, that this is their heritage, this is their birthright, land should be released to them. We've seen it in our very eyes in Accra. Demonstrations getting violent, and I'm not going to give specific instances. So, Achimota Forest and what it's come up with is one issue, but there's a bigger issue, and I believe that's where you are driving at, of public lands, how they are released, how they are managed, and so on and so forth. But I believe as we move forward, we will come to grips with all of these matters. For the time being, I'm happy that we've shed a lot of light on this instant matter.
In your statements that many have applauded you for and some have been suspicious, you say that the Ministry of Lands and Natural Resources will continue to deal with this matter and all other matters. You repeat this phrase in almost all your releases. And all other matters affecting the lands and natural resources of our country transparently, with the highest standards of integrity and with utmost good faith. The question people are asking is, do you have the muscle from where you sit to be able to do this, knowing the widespread, you know, invasion that has happened to state lands and reserve, the forest reserve in various places? Some of them have been mined. Gold mining, Galamsey, has gone on in some of them. Do you not believe that a commission of inquiry will assist you better to bring all these things to one table and advise on how to go, to how to stop them going forward?
So first of all, let me say that the responsibility or duty to protect and preserve, manage the lands and natural resources of our country, which truly is a, continues to be the property of the Ghanaian people, the heritage of the Ghanaian people, and which is really all we have, will not, with the greatest of respect, rest on just me. I will have a role to play. There's no two ways about that, and a very important role to play. The government has a role to play. Media, as you are doing, you have a role to play. Civil society has a role to play. The good news is that the president is absolutely committed to ensuring that we manage these resources responsibly, effectively, and with integrity, which is really good news. I also think I'm also particularly encouraged with the kind of examination, interrogation, and public discourse which is greeted this intervention. And I think that it's all in the interest of our democracy and also the public good. Commission of Inquiry, I think it's early days yet. I think something that we can continue to examine. They've been commissions of inquiries in the past. Let us also ask ourselves to what extent have they served their purposes. It will not be my decision to make eventually. I'm not sure that we can take that decision now. The most important thing is that the discourse is ongoing, and we are also trying to take the steps we think are proper, are in the national interest. We'll see where the chips will fall.
In one of your releases, you have been categorical in saying that what is purported to have been acquired by Sir John Kojo Wuse Freeye late, both at Chimota Forest, either jointly with the Charles Owusu he talks about, or acquired under setting the company names, the 5 acres and the rest of them, and the Ramsar site at Sakumano. You are saying that by those releases, you have declared them void, and you are asking the appropriate authorities to take steps to ensure that it remains void. The beneficiaries don't benefit from it. Do you think that is effective?
It's absolutely effective. I mean, Article 257 or so of the Constitution makes the president the trustee of public lands in Ghana. So he's the, if you want, the manager of public lands in Ghana. And I, as his minister, have delegated power, you know, to manage the public lands of our country. And the Achimota Forest and the Ramsar site continue to be public lands, forest reserves. Even this EI that has been executed, it doesn't pass title to the old family. They still have to go through all kinds of processes in order to acquire title. And the circumstances, and I'm not going to get into all of them, I'm sure we're all familiar with the circumstances. The totality of the circumstances of this particular matter will mean that whatever transaction is supposed to have taken place, and these properties, which are supposed to be part of the estate of the late Sir John, cannot stand. And I've written letters to the Lands Commission and Forest Commission. They've given effect to it already. So that matter is completely dealt with. Those properties will revert to the state.
There are those who say that the most effective way is to undo the de-gazetting. Because you have removed the forest, you know, reserve status of those portions. The effective way is to undo that by the EI 144 that you have done, so that we know that it's a place that's not touchable at all. If some developments have already taken place there, can't we afford to pay the people off? If we have to pay the old family, if they need, we have established that this is compassionate. It is not because they are entitled. So what is it? Is this not the most effective way, rather, so I've heard that undo the law?
I've heard that point of view. Is well noted. And let's see how events unfold.
It's on the cards that there could be a rescission of EI 144 to leave the forest absolutely as a forest reserve without giving any portions for any other use?
Well, as I've indicated to you, we have taken the steps that we deem appropriate in the national interest. Those steps have been taken. We continue to examine this matter. I believe that it's early days yet. Let's be patient and see how events unfold.
Maybe one or two more, and then I can, pause with you and move to my other guest. And thank you very much for your patience. We understand that you have a very important thing to attend to, but you still decided to give us some time. Now, it is said that even when it is a forest reserve, there are encroachments. So if you allow portions of it, you deforest it, so to speak, then you are giving room for a situation that you can't control.
You will see that my 10-page, 49-paragraph statement sets the records very straight and gives the background and the history in a very copious manner. So that is what answers the question as to how it came about that part of the 1937 acquisition was to be released to the old family. I mean, I'm not going to make any further comment on that.
Given that you are the minister who may be said to have championed, if you like, the widest afforestation program, you have done 5 million trees last year. We understand 80% of that have survived, and you have continued to say that you will ensure that they don't die. And then this year, you are getting on the aggressive, 20 million trees. So under your watch, you should have alternatives better than this approach.
I fully take your point. I get your point. That's why I say that EI-154 affirms the existing forest reserve. The question, Sanzen, I'm not sure we can resolve this topic. The question about compensation, whether you should pay with monetary money or you should release money. Generally, I don't mean in this particular instance alone. It's a bigger issue. And, one of the other thorny issues I've had to deal with as a minister has to do with compensation. Now, when you do the calculation and the amount of money we are talking about, that is another matter altogether. And whether or not a checker can support it, in many cases, it's literally running into percentages of our whole GDP and so on and so forth. So that's also another issue altogether. As I say, and I want to repeat, this brings up a major subject for national conversation, and I intend to make a statement in Parliament on this matter.
Great. If it was a forest reserve, and those who have developed so far didn't have the power to do those developments, let the heavens come down. Let them loose. Is that not it? You don't pay a dime.
I am not making any definite categorical policy statements here. All I'm saying to you is that the point you've made, and I admire the passion with which you've made it, so should it be. Let us just wait for the interrogation to be completed, and then we'll take it from there.
Okay.
Thankfully, I can assure your listeners, and I can assure the good people of Ghana, that President Akufo-Addo and his government, and myself, Minister, we are very determined to serve their interests at all material points in time. And this matter will serve their interests, no two ways about it.
Right. And this very final question has to pick your view, and my guests will look at it also, about the question of implied repeal. That because we have the Land Use and Special Planning Act 2016, and which is later in time to the Forest Act 1972, there is an implied repeal of the Forest Act, which you are relying on to issue the EI, under the power of the president, to either create or declassify a forest reserve. The minority, for example, suggests that this is not how to go. It must be Parliament, the people's representatives, who should decide whether we want to declassify a forest as a forest reserve, and not by the simple say-so of the minister acting with the president. What do you say?
As I said to you from the very get-go, whatever step I took was with the guidance of the Attorney General, who is my lawyer, who is the lawyer of the government. I've also heard this argument. I'm not too sure I'm qualified or I'm competent to make a pronouncement on it. If it becomes necessary, we'll seek the view of the Attorney General. I believe that he will be in a better position to make a pronouncement.
All right. Thank you very much, Samuel Abujinapo, Minister for Lands and... yes, you said what?
Yes, the committee. Can we get civil society representation? I mean, can he open it up? It shouldn't be his officers alone.
Mm.
Yeah, the committee to do the investigations that he's promised.
Okay. Yeah, he's left. Okay, he's left. But that's a suggestion that you're making. Yes. The OSP is also wading in.
Yes.
Occupy Ghana's position, which I support, is that a commission of inquiry may be the best, so that it is extended beyond the Achimota Forest, and so on. What do you say?
Yes, so coming to this, I agree. I mean, ideally, it should be a commission of inquiry. But, you know, commission of inquiry, we all know, to make it short, it doesn't lie in our hands. Parliament, so in this particular case, our representatives can ask His Excellency to do so.
If he doesn't do it by himself.
And then there is also the president, like you said.
The law says the Council of State too can ask for it.
Perfect. Council of State, you know, they are his direct appointees. We can't rely on them that much. But as for Parliament, at least we know there are opposition members in there, so there will be a bigger interest, right?
Not all the people at the council, in the Council of State are appointed by him.
Yeah, most of look at the regional those elections. Oh, on the ground, fair. If you don't belong to the ruling party, you won't make it far.
I'm pretending not to know.
Exactly. So Council of State is not that strong. I think in another,
you may not belong to the ruling party, but you can get support because the example is in people like E.T. Mensah.
Yes.
Right. Yes,
once in a while. Okay. I mean, to every rule, there's an exception. So this shouldn't detain us. So the main point is that, let's keep the public momentum on it, that a commission of inquiry is good. But in the meantime, the minister has started, and I'm one of those lauding him for it. He should continue his. I keep citing the example that in the U.S., the election of Donald Trump, there were 17 organizations that showed interest in investigating whether the Russians and other foreign elements contributed. And they all went around it. So if so far OSP is doing, Shraj is doing, the minister is doing, actually the minister started it all.
Yeah, Shraj has been petitioned, OSP has been petitioned.
And the minister even started it all with his own committee that is about to do. Sure, there is space for a public inquiry. Okay, public commission of inquiry. So let's...
For Shraj, it's going to look at conflict of interest.
Yes.
Where you have the head of the institution who himself was issuing warnings to chiefs not to, dabble in giving some of these land, particularly the Ramsar site. And then he ends up in his will having acres that he's willing.
Perfect.
Okay.
Perfect. Yes. So that's good. So the bottom line is that let all these institutions investigate because each one has a specific remit. Mm. So those days where we say, oh, it's sufficient for one institution, those days are over because this one is a very complex matter, has various angles. Unfortunately, the Constitution says for conflict of interest, Shraj. OSP, we know he'll be looking for corruption. So when I hear people say, no, OSP has no business, I'm like, what? Shraj is not going to look at the corruption element in this particular case because they were petitioned for the conflict of interest. Let the OSP do the corruption. The minister is doing the holistic one. And let us continue to ask for the
OSP is going to pursue those companies and individuals who are alive and whose names are in the will.
Perfect.
And as either joint owners or those who are owning it for Sir John or the beneficiaries.
Yes, all of them. It's a good thing. And I hope that Mr. Jabin will give it the best shot that he can. Because you know, this is an exciting moment. Because you see, what Mr. Jinapo has done, he's kind of a let or restore a bit of confidence of the populace in the government. Because you know last year, when around this time, getting to this time, when the president failed to sack Kweku Aminu for what he did to us in this vaccine, since then it's been a downward spiral. But what Mr. Jinapo has done, he's kind of restored some hope. And I hope that he will live up to the billing. I mean, he's brought some excitement, he should continue. Okay. But Sam, what
this whole discussion brings, I hope I'm not running ahead of myself, it's about the asset declaration regime.
Okay.
You remember?
We'll reserve that and go to that aspect, dealing with the Sir John's will, which has brought up another whole, opened up another, discussion altogether. I'll be going to Bright Simmons. He will take some time and also give us his perspective differently. But we'll take a quick break. When we return, I have a question for you and Martin, then we'll go to Bright Simmons.